But many cultures, it's not all, faux cheeriness. It's dark with a wink. So here is Tankor from Tyrol, Austria, and they know about dark to chase away the winter ghosts, and it's drummers beating on old car carburetors and gas canisters. But I think it'll just take us to our assembly point. Here we go. There we have it. I think we've gotten here. It's good. Because dancing with demons, all cultures know this. What we ritualize, we need not literalize. When we dance with demons, we suck the chi out of war and the origins of war. May it be so, but we're here to reciprocally deepen down and pluck each other up. There we go. So there is so much. And as I was saying before, the dancing with demons, and the importance of ritual honoring of the darkness, as well as the honoring by being fully engaged and knowing, so yes, the dancing with the demons. So yeah, there was a lot in our late missive. We are here at the new moon just now. Dark of moon, really, until just 3 hours, 2.5 hours ago. So it's like dark. Okay, ready for new moon in Sagittarius, sun and moon in Sagittarius. I'll show us the chart in a moment. Which is at a degree of, looking through each other's eyes. It's a new story going, okay, ready for a new story. And, in micro and macro ways, it's like I feel very ready. I'm raising my hand, God, yes, I am ready for a reset of schedule and things, but I am full of, the antidote to depression is perspective. Every time I go, I get to floss my teeth. Think of the people who can't. I get to wash my face. I get to be in a warm house and a warm bed with my animals, and we're all safe. And it's like, right, just perspective, everything. And ooh, this soup. And it is part of the Buddhist meditation to think of, what one would want that would be soothing, and then to wish it for all in need. It's the fairy tale realm. It's the, but we'll come to the this magic time of year, that not be kidnapped by the horror, but we not avert our gaze from the horror and understand what's going on and what a tough winter, right? Yeah, Susan watched the link that I sent, but it ends. Yeah, the Daniel Levy, what a clear, lucid voice on the whole history of the dynamic and complexity and origins, the Oslo Accords, everything. And then at the end, which is why I said if you're lacking time, just watch the first minute and then from minute 58 on. But she asks, what is the prospect of Gaza? Because, we're heading into winter, right? We're all heading into winter, but this is a particularly arduous winter, a winter of disease and starvation, and cold, there. And it's like, whoo. And he just takes a glance at it and he goes, if the ceasefire happened now, it would still be horrible, but now is essential. And I felt the kind of flimsy poignancy of our wanting to guide Biden to do the right thing, the wavering, like, well, what are we doing here? And it's like, but over and over again, the Saturnalia that we're approaching was always about Saturn, about wise leadership. And what we're seeing in the world is a crisis of leadership and dictatorship and authoritarianism. Anything, anywhere is everywhere, and it's dangerous out there. But the guiding story says, remember, Pluto is about to enter Aquarius, where it's really all about community, and not community, but community in the largest sense. Aquarius is called the realm of Saturn, discipline, and Uranus, wildness. And it's always that balance in anything, how much structure, how much improv, right? And the Durants do the whole history of the world that way, which is structure, structure, too much structure. Whoa, reaction, rebellion, wild, wild, not getting the bills paid. Uh-oh, back to structure, and the idea is to come into solstice, right? The sun stands still, and we're meant to gather our wits at this powerful time and to step into the calm circle, right? In contrast to the distracting culture, out there. So, how perfect? Let me bring up the chart. that there are many cooperators standing by. Let's honor many of them. So, as we remember the chart, if you know the language, that's great. Your endogenous receptors know the language, even if your mind does not. So we can just let it wash over us. So we just had, so this is the Earth. Here's me and Cabin John, all of us around the horizon line, east, west. So the sun and moon are together, right? So the moon has moved just past its new moon. They were both conjoined 2.5 hours ago at 20 degrees Sagittarius, new story, new birth. Now the moon has moved on, and where it is as we convene, proffering metaphors for animation, her image now for this degree is the crown and torch of the Statue of Liberty, the necessity to defend, liberty from tyranny. We go everywhere, everywhere, micro, macro, our gaze is focused on, or my gaze, I think our gaze is focused on Gaza because it's a global George Floyd, right? It's like we are watching murder live action as it's streamed and people going, whoa. So we don't give up on any parts of our dream in the sense also of Biden. And I was just reading the Politico, because it's such a conundrum. It's like so exasperating. And how has his empathy not ex and his grieving not extended to this horror? And on one level, this is where we can all help each other. There goes the election. But we're a long way out. There goes Trump. Oh my God, there goes the end of the world. And it's like, no, steady, steady, what is available? So, excuse me, the Just Now article is Biden says Netanyahu has to change, accuses Israel of indiscriminate bombing. It's like, okay, it's a start. And he says, speaking at a closed door fundraiser, the support for Israel is softening. You could say that the world is united in its hatred of U.S. and Israeli policy. It's dangerous. And he says about Netanyahu, I think he has got to change. Just little highlights. It was pointed out to me, I'm being very blunt with you all. It was pointed out to me that by Bibi, that, well, you carpet bomb Germany, you drop the atom bomb, a lot of civilians died. That's Bibi saying back to Biden, say about children. And Bibi's going, no, you guys, right? And I said, yeah, that's why all these institutions were set up after World War II to see that it didn't happen again. It didn't happen again. Don't make the same mistakes we made at 9/11. There was no reason why we had to be in a war in Afghanistan at 9/11. Our finale tonight is a very upbeat Afghani reporting in. There was no reason why we had to do some of the things we did. And then he's well, it's inching that way, and we go, all right, everything's part of our dream. Everything's part of our dream. The UN General Assembly, passes a resolution calling for a Gaza ceasefire. It is an unbinding resolution, so let's make it binding, right? So here's the new moon. We're approaching the Saturnalia. Saturn is, our leadership, how we define leadership. It's our own authority that we sometimes tend to outsource to collectively as a rogue species to inappropriate, dangerous psychopaths who do not care about the well-being of the citizenry. But that's why the Saturnalia was always about insourcing authority, insourcing it, right? And defining what is wise leadership. That's how the winter solstice begins. And so to bind. So some beautiful things. Again, the sky story goes here, this way. There's descriptions and then there's instructions. So the sun and the moon quintile Saturn right now, this new moon quintile Saturn. So it's this whole cycle that we're embarked upon that takes us to the end of the year. The full moon will be December 26th in Cancer Capricorn. all about structures that support life. But this is the new moon, the new story birth. But the sun and the moon quintile Saturn. Remember, 72 degree angle of irresistible eloquence for those who are dedicated. And then, as Sylvia pointed out so long ago, how wonderful. It's the capacity to open portals between worlds. And we go, okay, Saturn, wise leadership. Because Pluto enters Aquarius soon, we come back again to wise leadership must come from the community. And the authoritarian danger is that cults are the toxic mimic of community. Saturn and Uranus remind us that everything can be imprisoning or liberating. Astrology, what we're doing here, language, gathering in groups. I do the Aquarius quip, I can be lonely on my own, but it takes a group in which to be alienated. So there's that thing, right? But so to be alert to the cult thing, which is which again comes out of polarity. So we want to participate in the kind of guiding earth wisdom that really is, we'll introduce is the way to go. And conundruming with so much before us on the chart of Israel that we've looked at before, but we remember that when Israel was founded, the sun was at 23 degrees of Taurus. So it's having a Uranus transit that began August, September, but will keep going forwards and backwards well into 2025. And what would this mean? And what is the description? When we have an appointment, and we all have appointments, we either, cooperate with it or it happens to us. The great astrologer Rumi, yes, he was, said when, fate and destiny cross in the sky, you cannot escape it. Your only hope is to run towards it, to dance with the demons in some way. So puzzling on this, it's like, and where I think it was Susan who liberated me, or somebody who liberated me by speaking praise last week, that we get to feel like, well, where are we a little tight in our imaginations? Where have we outsourced not only our leadership but our imaginations? And I did find the Krampus, the spooky demon dance just now is sort of like, right, oh, where are we tense? Where do we want to unwind and undulate? So what does it mean liberating and to liberate our imaginations? And it's like, well, we got to go really, really deep because this is, and here, let me come back here. So we have the quintile to Saturn, invite in wise leadership. And for us to visualize, the UN General Assembly passes the resolution calling for Gaza ceasefire, non-binding resolution. Let's make it binding. Saturn loves to be guided to binding things. Yeah, there's a wonderful baby. Oh, there she goes. Binding things, right? So even just ourselves binding. Remember, I think I'll to and fro with the chart here, but remember our Saturn mudra, kingdom of heaven is at hand, all of our resources is just to not tightly clenched, but just gently close fist and put, left over right and right over left. And then, close your eyes, half closed if you feel like it. Autonomy is a sacrament. No mandatory sharing or processing here, but only if you want your life to work. Well, you try this stuff. Okay. So this is the mudra that banishes fear. It's the Saturn self-possession mudra. And just Saturn's color is kind of dark, dark blue indigo. So it's like inhaling dark, dark blue indigo, calling it in, calling it in. And we might be in a kind of auric egg, feel the oval field around us in this mudra, and it fills up with dark, dark indigo, just to inhale it. And exhale calm, wise leadership out into the world. But this is my favorite. There's a number of mudras. that learned long ago in Eureka 40-day training of everything from the world practices. But this is such a useful one, and just see if it's in fact true that it's like at this point, there's no fear. And what goes along with this is, again, friend Sylvia says, even in this mudra, imagine a plumb line from the sort of back of one's head, the occipital, going kind of straight down to the base of our spine. Alignment or aligning. Aligning Saturn is our spine, its leadership, its structure, its skin, its teeth. It's what defines us. And then she said, and then imagine that's the horizontal line. And then imagine a slightly askew, oh, that's the vertical line. There we go. And imagine a slightly askew horizontal line going from navel to base of spine. And she says, where those lines intersect, there is no fear. There is self-possession. It's like, ah, oh, awareness, you know, like Kuan Yin in her reverie, but with one foot out so she can leap into effective response whenever possible. Ah, so maybe just three more breaths here. So one more just with dark, dark blue, violet, indigo, suffused, and then exhale it out there with her. But doesn't that feel good? Does that feel maybe, or does it feel like a useful thing, a part of our repertoire? To gather our wits, to be effective, to be effective. So yeah, so it's the new moon and on Santa Lucia, Virgin de Guadalupe Day, and there's all these, all these ways to dance with the dark. I had the great good fortune to be in Sweden, in Stockholm, on Santa Lucia Day, because a long time ago, my brother-in-law won a Nobel Prize and said, "Want to come with, your sister and me and some fun people?" And I was like, "Absolutely," and so the Grand Hotel, it was super great. And the Swedes are dedicated partiers anyway. The parties start at 2 a.m. But on December 12th, you're snug in your Grand Hotel room, and then the door opens and angels come in. People dressed like angels, and they're wearing candles in their hair because the Swedes aren't scared, right? Candles in their hair, and they're singing these angelic songs. And they come into the room, and they have mulled wine and ginger cookies, right? And they give them to you, and then they sing and waft angel feathers and the flames, and then they gracefully go out the door. And it's like, oh, that's really great. That's really great. Santa Lucia honoring, that was a profound ritual, memorable, very like a dream, very like a dream. And so with everything, we want to waft that out on Santa Lucia Day and Virgin de Guadalupe Day, and to see just again the contrast. We want to be self-possessed and aware of the discrepancy between how things are and how they're meant to be, and the necessary trickster dynamic of, what does the Uranus transit to Israel's chart and all of us mean? What is it to be liberated? And it really says it's got to be land-based community. It's got to be land-based community that emerges from this. It's got to be community that is the leader, and then the leaders that we choose to be responsible stewards, meld themselves into response, very different from what we had now. But the backstage gods are full of guiding irony, on this day, right? The woman in Texas who had a life-threatening pregnancy, was denied by the state Supreme Court. Like, no, we men don't, we Christo-fascist men don't think you should have that autonomy. It's like it's the Virgin de Guadalupe Day. Oh, it's not going to go well for you. I'm very fond. I think this is where we want to frolic some, and hold each other, accountable and everything. But I'm fond of the thing I found on Facebook that said, I have no control over how my ancestors protect me, so mind your manners. Anyway, I find that very, very useful. That's a very wonderful plaque. We go, right. So Santa Lucia Day, Virgin de Guadalupe Day, and a new moon. It's kind of lining up time for new story. And yes, the Daniel Levy was good. Linda Joy Stone says happy new moon. And Mercury retrograde, right? It's stationing. So there's a lot of news. It's like it's not it. It's us humans dominating and despoiling the earth and others stewarding. We want that to tip, but we're not the we want to toss supremacy of any kind in speciesism into the cauldron. So this time of year, maybe Mercury retrograde, may we plant, and Linda says, may we plant seeds for new growth and mirth within the dire roots of being on the verge of solstice and being with darkness. Yeah, Mercury stationing. A planet stationing looks to us on Earth like it's, if we were noting every day, that it's spending a long time at one particular degree. So it really wants our attention. Mercury, our mind, our voice, our magician, our hands. And Mercury guides us to in what form of magic, and its images, its stations, and then retrogrades to retrieve things, to reconnect, is an angel carrying a harp. But
Caroline,
it's
can
it.
I ask you a question about that?
Yes.
Because I was super moved when you sent that poem about from Raphaël Allaire's poem about and he was talking about, take my things and sell them and buy a white cloth and make a kite and fly it so that the angels, the children in Gaza, could see angels smiling down on them from that kite. And I was so moved by that. And then I thought about this Mercury stationing on the angel with the harp point. And so I flew a kite. That's what I have behind me. I'm flying these white kites.
Oh, you're so good that way.
I'm just
Thank you.
flying some kites, and I just want everyone to fly an angel kite. And I just also just wondered if you would talk about what is the meaning of that angel with the harp, because that point is actually on my nodes, and I know it's going to go back and forth over it a couple times. So I just wonder.
Yeah, no. It's again, Sabian symbols. It's an old tradition that goes back to ancient Egypt of each degree of the zodiac, 360, having a metaphoric intelligence or quality, and then kind of reworked. And so, the ones we work with are called Sabian symbols, and they were made up by Mark Edgemon Jones and Elsie Wheeler, kind of sitting in a park, right? So humans made them up. But as with anything we make up, at a certain point, they come alive. And I've seen their spooky precision in a number of ways. But let me turn to overwordy Dane Rudyard and the book I've had since 1970. It's still here. For that, I think, as we learn anything, we see where does it come up. And and I've noticed it, the angel carrying a harp coming up, like in that poem, sometimes very often with people's farewell. That poem, the last poem he wrote before he was murdered, right? When I die, there's a tradition of that. It's a Pluto Scorpio tradition. I know it from Japan, but I've learned by tracking my aesthetics that Japan and the Middle East are aesthetically triply kinned. So in Japan, there's the whole art form of the death poem that you actually write as you are dying or as the army is around you and your castle's on fire, right? It's a powerful tradition, and as you said, it's a powerful blessing. So, angel with a harp, is that okay? So this is going to be Dane Rudyard, who's bless his heart, one of the first 20th century really intellectual astrologers, but language is challenging. But an angel carrying a harp, the revelation of the spiritual meaning and purpose at the core of any life situation. The picture simply says that heaven is within us. All we have to do is be open and listen to the total harmony of a life, a harmony in which we play a part that is necessary to the completeness and meaning of the whole. In order to do this, we have to surrender our separative ego consciousness and flow with the universal current, which to the religiously minded person is the will of God or the will of the divine. This is about attunement to the rhythm of the life. Angels are to be considered personalizations of various aspects of this life, and he goes on. Okay, so there's that. But we're getting a lot of angels. Jupiter is overhead in the chart of where we're being right now, and Jupiter overhead at the all crucial degree that we talked about last time, the woman of Samaria at the ancestral well, healing. Oops, sorry, healing cross-cultural encounters around water, and we go. Let's follow it around. So Jupiter overhead was considered a guardian angel of when in deep, difficult place, guardian angel in the sense that it's the part of all of us that responds to life with curiosity. No matter what. And then here's Uranus having arrived at its stationing degree, right? There we are. It's going to spend a lot of time at 19 degrees of Taurus. That's my Jupiter. Okay, so we don't know, but and my great friend Jerome McGeorge, one of the co-founders of Organic Valley, a truly great cooperative that really does all the money goes to the farmers and it saves things. His Jupiter also 19 Taurus, so I must confer with him, because I was saying the Sabian symbol for this degree, which is important to all of us now, I said it always seemed like what, wisps of wing-like clouds streaming across the sky. I'm like, what? But Rudyard says the awareness of spiritual forces at work, any emergence of life potential from the depths of the vast unconscious is answered by the spiritual activity of superconscious forces in a cosmic kind of antiphony. Okay, it's antique language, but we like it. The individual who has taken a new step in their evolution should look for the signature of divine powers confirming their progress. Right, so it's the augury thing, and it's this beautiful thing of wonder and responsive augury in the sky dance story, dancing more customized with some of us than others, but this is for all of us. Wonder attracts guiding augury. Like, I wonder. And Neptune is wonder and it's yearning and it's dreaming and it's group mind and it's shared grief. It's like we are with you. And it's called the higher octave of Venus. It means grief artfully expressed becomes a sacrament of kinship. Like, ooh, the music, the poetry, the yearning, all of that. And it's in a very happy dance with Uranus and Taurus, manifest kinship with the earth, so wonder and guiding augury. And when I look at the transits to the world and the transits to the state of Israel, going, what would it be to be liberated? And where it's like, no, let's not be imprisoned by realism, right? Situations so grave we can't afford the luxury of realism. If we just relaxed and from our calm place, was like, what is really desirable? What do we really need now with the failures of, COP25 and the pathetic leadership there and, the fossil fuels and the guy hosting the party, I can't remember his name, is head of an oil corporation and said there's no science about global warming. And it's like, oh, humans, no species would do this. No other species would do this, outsource collective well-being to somebody who was completely, I've got mine. It's like, so there's that. There's the the obscene Texas tyranny, hatred of war on women, I mean, all of that. There's the acute, cruelty to children many places. Zelensky's in town now. We might address part of his chart in the story, in the story of storytelling, but I think it does say, and with this approaching right now, see all these little RXs beside these planets means that's the symbol for retrograde motion and little asteroid Vesta. Retrograde, which is inward. There's still life and horror and everything going on out there, but the tide is like to incubate and to entertain the possibility. It says if we entertain the possibility that we are being proffered more than we deserve by responsive nature, the opportunity to really have, a global land earth-based renaissance of ingenious solutions, and it's like Bo, whom I like to listen to on YouTube, very sensible daily commentary on history and now, and other things. But he says, here's the anarcho thing. We don't need to use the word anarchism because it scares people, or communist, communitarian is a good one. But Oh, let's see, mind going in several places, but come back. Oh, come back, mind. But what Bo says is, everybody needs a kind of local team. He says it tends to be about 12 people, and you may not know them well. He says he's in the Florida Panhandle, so he says, half of his team is small C conservatives, and the other half is, anarchist hippies, and they get along well. But the idea is they see something in the community that needs doing, like, oh, a pothole, right? And rather than going, oh, damn government, there's like, well, who knows what to do? Oh, okay, I've got the asphalt and we'll do that thing. So the conversation about community support and government, which we might define as having a different function, we're guiding it, of community experiments. Let's try this. Let's try a 30-hour work week. Let's try these things. Let's mobilize, climate, some big things. But that's a useful idea. And you couldn't tell those small C conservatives, it's like, you know what? You're being an anarchist. And it's like, huh. It's again the power of words. Just small anecdote. My former husband's dad was a kind of manly Marine, right? And so he's like, I'm not going to play bridge card because that's a sissy game, right? No. And so they basically taught him this game that was bridge, but they didn't tell him it was called that. And he's like, hey, this is a great game, right? And then later they told him it was bridge. Hey, you're being an anarchist, but no. But later, that. So what does that mean actually? This whole crisis that we're in, crisis of leadership and Saturnalia. So I'm just looking at the chart and the dynamic, and I'll come back to that. Let's see, where do we want to go? Let me come back to human form. Although, all right, well, oh well, no, actually it's calling. It's calling. And see, if you speak in chat, that whoever speaks is also going to be inevitably speaking part of the chart. I love that. But this is a beautiful thing. So here's all these beings overhead, and then Jupiter is opposite Venus at 9 Scorpio, one of my favorite degrees, right? So whatever we cultivate, I love this language. Whatever we cultivate is how synchronicity will speak to us. And it has a lot to do about time. So because I love this language, if somebody's late for an appointment, or more likely, I'm slightly late for them. But when they walk in or connect, what's rising due east is something significant in their chart. And it's like we're late, but we're really on time. And I do love that. So Venus at 9 Scorpio, right? Again, a favorite degree, because I call it the secret soul of America. And here's where we just want to hold this and invite in this, because what is the time of the winter solstice? It's the 25,000 years plus gathering of humans to do effective community magic. You know, by again, what we ritualize. So at the winter solstice, say at Newgrange, and all around the world, what's going on there? Oh, literal and symbolic light of sun, come on in and illuminate this painting, this writing at the back of the cave. This is the story our community wants to bring alive now, right? Participatory, right? And may there be, kites. May there be kites. So for all of us, crafting, it's like each person to this week would be really good. And Elizabeth can guide us with, because it is a time where we do want to craft. I still have handmade Christmas tree decorations and everything. And now, like, what is our magic craft to tap into 25,000 years ago on behind us? Remembering in times of danger, humans would do this. They would craft their dedication. They would do the painting or the collage or the writing at the back of the cave and go, come on in and bring this alive, in my household, in my town, in my country, on our planet, this, and animated. It's like we say, linguistic precision guides the vision, but also metaphor is the incarnational garb whereby power enters the world, and Neptune is dreams, vision, imagination, music. It's the whole realm of dreaming and atmosphere to create the atmosphere conducive to the desirable. So I love Christmas. This is a different assignment of Christmas, but I love Christmas solstice, when the sun stands still around December 21st, but it stays at that same degree for 4 days, right? Which gets us to the 25th. So it's all solstice, like pausing deep. And I have often felt like I like it, even if it's just the dogs and me and the Christmas tree. Just the texture of the air feels more full of benevolence. This is a greater assignment because there is a everywhere in the atmosphere, profound grief, whether people are fending it off with false joviality or whatever, but it's like, but the crafting impulse, Jornes says about everything, let's track everything to its source. Like, what did this want to be before it got orthodoxed or imprisoned or commercialized or whatever? What's the originating impulse? Let's track it back and liberate it and do it. So, as Elizabeth is so great, the crafting of things, the crafting of the back of our cave, the making of the altar, which is our winter solstice altar. Oh, literal symbolic light of sun, bring this thing alive, and pictures, metaphor. And again, things I often repeat, you can chant along with me. Our word to dream comes from an old English word dreamon, which meant two things. It meant to dream and to make music, same word. So it reminds us that making music is a way of participating in dreaming the world into being. Music, atmosphere, again, atmosphere of music in harmony with things. I like the things. I'm sorry about the Christmas trees being cut down. Although once I did have a tree that was a cut tree and it grew roots. It grew roots and it grew little green sprouts on itself. And it was coming back to life into July when I went away and the house sitter forgot to water it. But and then Earth First people are like, yeah, the life force in trees, like sometimes redwood planks in buildings will sprout. It's like that resilience, that's what we want to align with and wed and just sort of declare, all governments must be wedded to the earth, on some story, in some deep thing, in some liberating of our imagination. It's got to be. And Uranus is very partial to equal democratic animism relating to each creature and each species in an equal fashion. And as Sim Kern says, and I'm very fond of them, Because everybody gets equal rights and everybody has a place to live, because that's just how it's got to be. And we go, right. And to feel like, oh, that's a brave thing to say. And it's like, no, that's just how it's got to be. And, and to all of us, or participatory, all of us, release any toxic, sneaky forms of colonialism. Like, where was I? Just saw somebody's good blurb that the phrase, it was somebody's thing, the phrase, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. That was the origin of that, is it was satire, it was sarcasm, because everybody knew you couldn't do that, right? So it was said with an ironic wink. Yeah, sure, right, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And then right-wing cuckoo, I've got mine people took it over, going, they should just pull themselves up with their bootstraps. Examining all of our sayings, and out and about, in these realms where we want to be responsive but not reactive, because reaction is imprisoning and response is liberating. And so many of our team say, I'm sick and tired of this. And I go, whoa. Oh, no sense doing the work of the reality police for them, making yourself sick. What about, I'm aroused, I'm outraged, I'm in, Mars. I wanted to talk with everybody about anger, because it came up in the last radio show. And the people, it was KPFA and Fun Drive, and the people calling in were like, yeah, anger, thinking this new age thing about anger. They people went wild over anger, and it's like, yeah. I think we want to converse about it. Moon and Sun, right next to Mars, and Ceres, Demeter, goddess of the earth. And her image for that degree is in the cauldron of the earth, new metals are forming, and then Mars. And what do we all think about anger? My guest was very like, yeah. And I go, yeah. But let me go back to the sick and tired for a second and then come forward. So sick and tired is like, let's dissolve. We're in our, again, cauldron, and Neptune says, solve, coagula, dissolve and reimagine. Throw everything in and then ladle it out in its liberated form. What did this want to be? And that's all of our metaphors. Get two birds stoned on one scone, much more fun. All the kind of sneaky linguistic things, but let's go back to the soul of America here. If we look at the back of $100 bill, it's got a clock tower on it with a specific time. And if we do a chart for America using that birth time, it gives 9 Scorpio rising. Astrologers have many charts for America: Gemini rising, Sagittarius rising. I think everything can be true, many stories, right? But I've been a, I love this one. Because the image for this degree is a fellowship supper reunites old comrades. And it's like, right, that's what this country wants to be. That's part of what it ideally would want to contribute to global culture. May all earth-based, cooperate, relate to everything in all plants, all animals, all flora, fauna, fungi. Like with Stella Coyote, the great trickster, my customized ally, that our relationship be of mutual benefit. And I think that that's the deal with all of our animal friends and our tree friends, and may it be reciprocal blessing. And see, the approach of Jupiter and Uranus coming together for the first time in Taurus since 1940, interesting resonance. On April 21st, 2024, but again, this idea of a reciprocal blessing abounding in tangible forms, and just again freeing our colonized imagination, going, foreign policy should be, here's water and food and fantastic things and whatever you want to do with, and planting, and the planting of trees, right? We're arriving to help replant olive groves. Because I'm going to be hosting Ed Tick, who's thought has worked a lot with the origins of war, and rehosting him on December 21st. So his books, he first pointed out to me that the Odyssey, Homer's Odyssey is a manual for how you take veterans home. It takes 12 years, and there's these initiatory rituals. And a lot of the soldiers he was working with, in their deep soul loss, said, America hires us to do horrible things so they can all feel good about themselves. And it's like, oh, yeah, okay, right. So he had taken Vietnam vets back to the Vietnam villages they had bombed to help rebuild the temples that they had destroyed. And that's soul work. And he took veterans to the Asclepions in Greece. He's just getting back from there now, with COVID. But to into these dream incubation places. And he found that that was so effective for warriors to heal war, the dreaming, the Asclepions, when we started the first Dream News Council back in June, maybe, but that's when the Titan submarine was grabbing so much of our attention, and the incredibly spooky resonance between the Titan submarine implosion and the actual Titanic. There were some very specific spooky things, but it was noted the discrepancy of global concern over these few, but all life precious people, when at the same time hundreds of migrants were drowning in the Mediterranean. And they, in fact, their bodies were washing up on the shores of the Asclepions, right? So the modern world's horrific cruelty crisis is washing up on the shores of what could heal them, of what in antiquity could heal them. So I'm looking forward to speaking with Ed Tick, who knows a fair amount, about let's go to dissolve necessary miracle, dissolve the origins of war. And it's through poetry and healing and service and rebuilding and kindness is his understanding. It's the only way you get your soul back, and working with the earth. Working with the earth and working with animals, working with animals, working with dreams, working with the earth, working with horses. I mean, because animals have a much larger field, physical field than we do. Horses very much. And many videos and things we can put together of horses. Surrounding a young girl with cerebral palsy. And beginning to breathe with her. And then she's saying, oh, I feel much more together. I can walk a little bit better now. Just all these things, horses, things, all of that. The cave paintings, the Neptune and Pisces in the eighth house is very much like the Cave of Forgotten Dreams that I tell everybody who's got any planets in the eighth house about, but it's remember, it's Werner Herzog, and he has access to the oldest cave paintings in the world, and they're a fantastic horse. And then 5,000 years later, somebody paints another horse. And some of the animals are painted with multiple legs, so by torchlight, they would appear to be galloping, right? So ancients had flip books and movies, thank you. And there are hundreds of flutes, right? And there's a fire pit. And the thing I convey to everybody about eighth house and Neptune, and here we are all that. There's a moment where we see Herzog seeing it as we can see it. He said, so people gathered here for over 5,000 years, the horses, and they played music and they shadow danced between the fire pit with the paintings. Ooh, like solstice lighting up thing. These are all rituals of light and dark and inviting in the origins of music and theater and ritual and humans gathering was always invite in what is wiser and better than us. Always, right? we could use that. So I love that they're shadow dancing with the paintings, as portals. So the purpose of art, not even to be seen, purpose of art is a doorway, all craft, all doorways, whereby, and we extend the invitation, and Saturn kind of calibrates, what's the quality? What's the quality? What's the nuance? Wonderful word that comes from clouds. What's the nuance that we want to, invite in? And yes, let me come back to human form and see what people are thinking. Right, so right. Yes. Okay, I'm catching up slowly. Feel free to speak if you want. Awesome masks. Okay, I'm back here. Mark says, is this what really happened at COP28? The Krampus dance? Well, I think that's a good idea. Right, so setting a new moon intention for fluidity of mind, temperate emotions, cheerful attitudes, agile bodies, and vitality of spirit, says Delia. Yes, all right, I'm sitting up straighter. There we go. Oh, that's right. And Aaron has provided the link so that you can dance with the demons all week, if you want. Right. Aaron says, if this begins to unravel the US's own concept of how much civilian death or death in general is acceptable, we could begin to make progress globally towards peace. May it be so. Yes. Yes. By the power of our gathering, whatever we affirm, yes. Brigitte, new moon vision and intention of having the United States stands for what is right, regardless of politic interests. Yes. Good vision, good vision. We are with you and put all its might to stop this massacre. Yes. Let's have the US support fully the United Nations resolution for ceasefire. Yeah, well, let's bring in Trickster, right? We can't stick to realism. Again, it's a new story, it's a new moon. There's forces there. What would you like? Cooperators are standing by, and we would like what Brigitte just said, and everyone above them. The name of the Rumi poem, I don't know. A Turkish friend gave it to me, but if I find it, I will give it to you. Yeah, and he gave it to me in Turkish and then English. When fate and destiny cross in the heavens, you cannot escape it. Your only hope is to run towards it. Dance with the demons, dance in spiral, and stay fluid. Yes, and Ben says, many good things here. Thank you for letting me catch up with everybody. Ben says, from a Hanukkah reflection in Jewish currents about subverting light supremacy and embracing the luminous dark. Yeah, yes, equal. What does it want to be? What does it want to be? We return finally to the Leviathan. He was not forgotten, only waiting in the deep. Oh. Right, and then I'm going to read the rest of what you wrote, and I hope it's whatever. But my friend Carolyn Raffensperger said, remember in the Old Testament, Leviathan is the only creature that God plays with. Maybe that's what you're about to say. Anyway, back to you. On the darkest day of the year, the Leviathan emerges from the great waters and roars. His roar is not one of dominion. He does not banish the great fish, only to take their place as hunter. He does not clear the oceans and start anew. Rather, his roar disrupts a broken system and creates the condition for a new one to emerge. His chaos does not threaten the very possibility of order, only those invested in maintaining an order of domination. It's really great. On Rosh Chodesh, Tevet, as Hanukkah draws near its end, the Leviathan roars and the world is overturned. This Hanukkah, may we find relationship both with the blessed light and the unfathomable dark. May we draw from it the chaotic potential of a new and better world. Wow, that's fabulous. And that's you quoting. That's you, Ben. That's anyway. But when does Hanukkah end?
I
Remind
did
me.
not write any of that. I think that there are three. This is from an article in Jewish Currents that I'll post to the Facebook group. I think there are three more nights left. It's confusing for me because I've been doing the reverse of what most people do. There are two traditions. One's the Hillel method, where you do 1 to 8 candles every night. And I found out about a tradition this year called the Shammai method, where you do eight candles on the first night and you go to one at the end as kind of a meditation on subverting this light supremacy and welcoming the dark is not like a terrifying colonial other or just like a scary whatever, and actually just embracing like Tehom and like T-E-H-O-M, the like biblical like void, kind of like yin, you know, feminine, whatever. So I think I'm at like, I don't know, my numbers are totally backwards. So this night I'm like lighting like three candles. So I think it's the fifth night. It's very confusing.
Wait, so if tonight is the fifth night and there are how many? There's eight?
Yes.
Okay.
Eight total. So most people I think are lighting six or five candles tonight, but I'm doing three. It's, I don't know, I'm all jumbled up. And I'm lighting an extra candle for Palestine, so... Right. I'm all out of sorts.
No, that's great. That's great. That's great. That's good. That's excellent trickster work, because Neptune dreams, vision, imagination, and water. Water reflects a reverse image, right? So you're doing a reverse thing, which is reversal magic. Reversal magic, very strong. You know, it's also why a wonderful late ancestor, now interesting friend, Rudolf Steiner person said, and also if you want to sort of set a new thing, walk backwards into bed. Right. Do things reversed. Do things reversed. You do things reversed. And the Kabbalah, you know, and the tarot card teachings from the Kabbalah said, yes, the reverse of what most people hold to be common sense is what is more likely true. So reverse things, you know, and reversal also, when you go to a spooky place, you know, like Dartmoor, or we enter a spooky time, you know, there's positive spooky in darkness, and there's the starvation and disease thing, right? But it's just, but when you are about to venture onto land that requires respect, you like Dartmoor, you put your clothes, I don't know if it's all your clothes or maybe just your jacket, on inside out. You reverse them as a sign of respect to the spirits of the place. And then you have safe passage, and they won't lead you into quicksand. Otherwise, they will. It's like, there are those people whose clothes aren't reversed with their little feet sticking out of the quicksand. So there's that. That's great. Well, that's a wonderful quote, Ben. That's really super great. And I love, I love you're going backwards, going, okay, eight, three there. Okay. I'm doing three out of eight. So there should be, you're the one keeping the backwards track. So this is the third to the end night. So it should be ending on Thursday.
Yes. I think that's right.
Yeah. See, you're an excellent guide.
Perfect.
That is perfect. Right. And yes, and I still have my gay Israeli Jewish friends who are standing in the wings. We will find, I guess we'll find a time pretty soon. But you know, I'll talk with you about this, Ben, and happy to connect to you and to send that quote that you just thing and all of that. But it's a daunting, you know, and there's nothing like just stepping in going, what is the conversation we have, you know, about the equal honoring of those who died on October 7th, Putin's birthday. Right. And then how we keep it embracing in this highly polarity dynamic, and the nefarious you know, obedience, reality police out there, it's very sneaky, which is why we want to be quite alert to it. You know, conflating, you know, anti-Zionism to anti-Semitism and pro-Palestinian marches as they're all Hamas. And it's like, no, let's dissolve that boon swaggling. But really, like op-ed pieces, you know, about, and we go, yeah, and then I was just teaching at the University of Pennsylvania for somebody's class, and then damn, they fired, or the president resigned. Who, right? So we do want, you know, more, let's see, clarity, calm, not polarity sides, and again, somehow, you know, salam shalom, the presence of oneness. But I just have pieces of paper that fall out every now and then, and think scraps of notes, and here's one just said hello. If we're thinking about, and it is, the Arthurian legends very much, the king must wed the land, all the fairy tales are that, and it's, the white stag, leaps into Arthur's court at various times, Pentecost, which is cool, but also winter solstice. And the white stag leaps into the center, right? We leap into the solstice. The sun stands still for 5 days, and we with it in this powerful time of dedication and Saturnalia, what is wise leadership? And so the white stag leaps into Arthur's court, and Arthur says, nature has sent an emissary, and we must change our ways. And each person is to go out into the woods by themselves. To go with others would be a shame, where it was spookiest for them, where it was darkest for them. Each must enter the woods where it was darkest for them and go out and have some significant communicative message, augury with part of nature. And don't come back till you do. And then, if you don't have one, then you can't come back and you can't have supper, right? So it was always like nature has sent an emissary. You humans are not, you must leave the court and go into a dark, right? Here's the positive but daunting dark. Each entered the forest where it was darkest for them. To do otherwise would have been a shame. Going, it's like, okay. So it's the Saturn Uranus community thing. It's a community of solo people who choose to come together like in Bo, in mutual aid. And what we've before the council, we Pluto, death, rebirth, intelligence representing that within us and without, in Capricorn for 14 years, and then entered Aquarius briefly in the spring, and then was like, no, back into Capricorn until January of 2024. Come back in, stress all the systems of support and regard and kindness and efficacy, test everything for corruption, the corruption of infrastructure and metals, the corruption of governance. Does it come through and support the condos built on sand, the false earthquake standards, stamping the psychopathic disregard for life? Where is that? Because that's then where community wants to, like, oh well, and that's where again Gaza is so. Well, there's no word. I keep, but I do feel to be intimate with it too. There's people I follow and converse with, and it's good to be held. There's a friend in Lebanon, very engaged, and she's like, metaphors, but what are we gonna do, right? And it's like, we do what we can, but always, what are we gonna do? And then Neptune, we wonder what we're gonna do, and may the metaphors in each one of our dedication magnetize an opportunity for tangible good in some way, and talking with Brigitte and many wonderful people, it's like also small acts of dedicated kindness, tweaking the house until it sings, contribute. That's a kind of magic, the lighting of the candle, the Christmas tree. I left that story way back there, the tree that came back to life. But the reason I brought it up is Diana Beresford Kroeger says, walk into a pine forest, you always come out smarter because of the aerosols, right? Ah. And so I go, well, the trees are sacrificing themselves. It's like, well, we'll go inside, but we're going to make the humans smarter. That's what's wanting to happen. And maybe we wouldn't have to cut them down. But anyway, but I like that idea of the trees going, we will give our lives if it makes humans smarter, if they really take that to heart. So, right. So here's Lauren Isley, always wonderful. Science, poetry. He's the scientist with the soul of a poet. As Jeanine Benyus speaks, it was so many of her mentors. Rachel Carson taught her about the ecstasy of grief and the ecstasy of poetic science writing. That everything have a profundity. So, Lauren Isley, we are rag dolls made out of many ages and skins, changelings who have slept in wood nests or hissed in the uncouth guise of waddling amphibians. We have played such roles for infinitely longer ages than we have been men. Our identity is a dream. We are process, not reality, for reality is an illusion of the daylight, the light of our particular day. Oh, let me read part of that again here. Well, let me read the thing, and I'll pay attention. We are rag dolls made out of many ages and skins, changelings who have slept in wood nests and hissed in the uncouth guise of waddling amphibians. We have played such roles for infinitely longer ages than we have been men. Yeah, humans, very recent. Our identity is a dream. There we go. We are process, not reality, for reality is an illusion of the daylight. And then he has many, many, many wonderful quotes, but the one I have on this scrap of paper is, we have joined the caravan, you might say, at a certain point. We will travel as far as we can, but we cannot in a lifetime see all that we would like to see or learn all that we hunger to know. But those quotes, you know, again, the Jupiter-Uranus approach, you know, going right, you know, the kinship with the entire history of evolution and the responsible stewardship and the cooperating and the engaging of everything, the music and the paintings and the inviting things and all of that. And then, yes, and I'm just getting to your quote. Spiritual joy starts as spiritual anarchy. And yes, the recent radio shows I've done is that spirituality and anarchism did start off together. It's like my love of Japanese aesthetic and the Middle East. What's that? Oh, in Sansom's history, he says of Japan, he says the only comparable aesthetic to the exquisiteness of the Heian period in Japan is the Ottoman Middle East. Like, oh, it's the same thing. I'm tracking in different forms, you know. And I had, you know, a very important, we'll start off as an astrologer and occultist forever, but very important chapter ongoing, stirring on anarchism and going, right, it is a spiritual form of governance. That if everybody, Saturn self-cultivates and is responsible, you know, and we have responsible, you know, self-responsibility, then really people do come into accord. And it's my conservative, the most conservative person in the room when I used to go hang out with cross borders, you know, who said, you know, what do you know about Edmund Burke? And I was like, oh, not much. And he goes, well, this conversation about small government, big government's ridiculous. Now here he gets to be like Bo. He said, what Edmund Burke said is, the more we cultivate good citizenship and self-responsibility, the fewer outer laws or rules we need. And I'm like, yeah, that's spiritual anarchism. He goes, I'm a conservative, and now I'm a spiritual anarchist. And I go, yes, you are. That they work together. That's fantastic. And I go, this is, you know, metaphysics 101. This is, you know, Taoism. And he goes, Taoism? I love Taoism. I haven't been able to talk about Taoism with any of my conservative friends. Anyway, so, you know, again, if we define things, you know, just like, there we go. And then just jumping in here, Susan, it said that angry people are easier to manipulate. Well, yeah, grievance, right? Tyranny runs on grievance. It's part of our whole kind of whatever it is we're doing. And Elizabeth, back to this again, may the white kite made of the life of the poet Alarir fly over Gaza, full of angels playing harps to hearten and protect the children below. That's great. So now would be a good time. We're going to play his poem. It's a friend of his reading his poem. I think we have that. Possibly. Backstage Badger, are you there? We are here.
If I must die, you must live. To tell my story, to sell my things, to buy a piece of cloth and some strings, make it white with a long tail, so that a child somewhere in Heza, while looking heaven in the eye, awaiting his dad who left in a blaze, and bid no one farewell, not even to his flesh, not even to himself, sees the kite My kite you made, flying up above, and thinks for a moment an angel is there, bringing back love. If I must die, let it bring hope. Let it be a tale. This was likely one of the last pieces of work written by a Palestinian poet, writer, and professor, Rifat al-Harir, who was killed in Gaza last week by Israeli airstrikes.
That's powerful. And very apt connection, Elizabeth, you know, the angel Mercury station flying over Gaza. Yeah, and the work of Lilier, who seeks to draw forth people's creativity in really hard circumstance to bring the place alive. And she did say that, you know, Palestine in Israel was the hardest place she'd been for that, but she would always get the children to paint protective spirits on the buildings and poetry, you know, and so that's really powerful, beautiful, good that way. And then, all right, so Jess says it's the sixth night, right? But again, but for Ben, it's the third night because he's going backwards. I think that's right. No. It's true. If Jess is right and it's the sixth night of Hanukkah, then it's probably your second night. It's probably you're on two candles, Ben, but clearly you're a creative wizard. So and then Anne says Thursday. Okay, that's good. Thursday is when I'm hosting Rabbi Rachel Gottlieb, I think that's her name. That's right. I'm stocking up on rabbis who are liberating. And who want to invite in the Shekinah, the mystical feminine spirit of the earth, really. And remember, Aramaic, the language from the land, you know, indigenous means sprung from the land, but also the Aramaic was the spoken by everyone vernacular in the Middle East, in this land, right? And we go to our dream selves again. I'll just play with the chart. Because as I oft like to say, you know, Neil Douglas Klatt says, you know, Aramaic, highly metaphoric language. And when you translate it across borders into Greek, you lose a lot of the metaphor, right? So he says it's all earth-based. It's all earth-based. As is underneath, again, if we go back far enough, you know, you know, when I was with Deborah Felmuth in Syria, we went to Dar Mimosa, 6th century monastery built into the cliffs outside Damascus that was being rededicated to a place of environmental healing with all faiths welcome. Not sure if Jews were welcome at that time, but it was Christians and Islam and Muslims for sure. Maybe there you go. But that rededication. But so Neil says, blessed are the peacemakers. He says that's close, but in Aramaic it would be blessed are those who plant peace, right? That every sentence, every word is a sensual communing with the earth metaphor. You know, the blessed are the meek to us, in Aramaic, he says, is more like blessed are those who soften emotional rigidity within their hearts, for they shall have all the power of nature. That seems particularly pertinent right now. To see deeply with a blessing heart, challenging, doesn't have to be, it can be a spicy blessing, anything that we put out into the world that we would happily accept ourselves, I think is the sort of ally etiquette involved there. And again, this model of reciprocal blessing and spiciness. Some possible reason why. You can see that Saturn is just set in the west. This is a live action chart, right? So Neptune was in the 8th house. Now it's moving into the 7th house. All relationships are confusing. Saturn has dipped below the horizon. Now it's in the realm of dedicated work. And we go, here's another angel. To Virgo rising right now, whose image is a guardian angel watching over a couple in the wilderness. So we have angels, 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 angels referenced, and we go, okay, sure. And if it's not true, let's make it true. But again, inviting in whatever is that force, whatever is that backstage intervening, whatever is that liberating trick. And I wanted to just move towards our finale, but there's some crucial things I did want to reference. Right, many worthy things, you know, there's the poem that you can read again, powerful, powerful, resonant, to be looking at one's own death with a blessing for the living. And that's one of the reasons I find people's death charts so heartening and expansive. We have a birth chart, but very often the death chart is their poem. And you know, it's different for everybody, but sometimes it really is a blessing to those left behind. And I have no presumption over the mysteries of death. I have no certainty about these profound mysteries, but I do know there's a call and response, and I do know that the death poem, and the death chart, powerful. You know, there's the article that Aaron posted again. There's so many. Let's all get super informed. There's so many, you know, boonswoggling and then incredibly useful, like, whoa, history with almost anything that's useful is complex. And you go, and it's not taking sport, you know, sides like some sports team. It's like, remember in Hebrew, or actually Aramaic, you know, when Jesus is on the cross and says, oh God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There are two words for why. And one is, you know, why the hell? And the other one is, to what purpose? And when Jesus is on the cross, it's the second why he uses, going, to what purpose has thou abandoned me? And you know, why, to what purpose? You know, that's kind of part of our repertoire, not the only. Again, it's the more metaphors, the more music, the more spices, the more words, the more avenues, the more art, the more avenues of participation, the more portals. So there's all of that. And then right, and then yeah, the part that I'd excerpted a little bit from Aaron's posting, which is in our dream book, and also the link is in the missive. And the person starts off by saying, I'm a Palestinian Jew reclaiming an identity that was outlawed. Why rewrite text after having written and published it a few weeks earlier? Because something horrible is happening in Palestine, and it's happening to us too. Once again, who is this us, humanity? The horror of the Nakba repeats on our screens, broadcast directly by its victims, who also send testimonies. We don't even know if they've survived when their message reaches us. Yeah, I have a whole bunch of people I check in with. You know, some I'm just one of throngs, you know, and some like, you know, and it's like still alive. It's like, and some disappear, you know, and some are in terrible circumstance, and I feel kinship with them as much as anything. A Palestinian named Nizar writes from the heart of these crimes against humanity that are being inscribed. We feel very close to death here in Gaza. We feel death every second. We smell death everywhere. And then the narrator comes back in. I still don't know if Nizar was able to protect his children after he described how hard it is to look into their eyes. What you see is only fear and tears, and you feel that you are not able to protect them or save them. And then I noticed, because I guess it was 2 weeks ago, the fate of our own, I think of our own, you know, Anas Espita, the little baby whose chart we did, you know, and his family in the South. And it was a, you know, Washington Post article about his travails and how they found this little baby, and they had his birthday, so we did his chart, and I send it to you too. And we don't know that his family wouldn't let him go alone, little baby, to Egypt. So they stayed and said, we will live together and die together if we must. And the South was supposed to have been the safe haven. You know, Israel goes, go to the south, you'll be safe. Go to the south, you'll be safe. Just kidding. You know, some of the most violent bombing has been in the south, which was the promised safe haven. Go further, go further. Now go this way. It's very cruel. It's very cruel. So we don't know the fate of our Anas Espeta and his family, but his fate's so intertwined with Israel. And you know, we'd looked at it. Yeah, I'll just do a teensy little thing here, and also on Zelensky, because he's in town, or possibly still in town. Okay, we're going to do this. Okay, so. So now, so I'm just putting this little boy, Anas Gaza is what I called him, but it's Espeta, August 16th, 2023. You know, in Gaza, Uranus at 23 Taurus. You know, he's born at the dark of the moon. We did a little bit on his chart. So with the sun at 23 Leo, Uranus at 23, so awakening, crisis, loss. Israel's sun is 23 Taurus, so we don't know. His Mars is the US Neptune. You know, it's like may his micro plight, you know, move the positive quality of this country. Again, the direction and the atmosphere are coming from the people going in around the world. And in America, going, oh no. You know, this little baby part of our dance, part of our dream, his Mars, it's the well, we mentioned it last time. His Mars is the same degree as Barack Obama's Mars on the US Neptune. And Barack Obama did Mars. He did animate the desirable vision of the country, you know. But so here's little Anas. Don't know if he's alive. Don't know if he's alive. But you know, so intertwined. This is Israel's sun right here. And as I'd mentioned, just for our ongoing wonder and winter solstice preparing, you know, let me change. I keep him on my altar. I don't know. You know, again, it's the anchoring of the hugeness into specificity going, you know, but even though Washington Post article about him and his family can't find him now. You know, it's like the stories come and then, you know, it's like, come on, couldn't you step in and track this family and do good for, you know, five people? You know, so then I just want to remind us, here's Israel, right? The sun at 23 Taurus, right? Uranus going forwards and backwards and forwards. August, September, part one, then stations at 23, then goes backwards. Spring of 2024, forwards, stations at 23 again, which is noteworthy. Spends a long time at 23, the end of 2024 into 2025. And then just inviting us all to go, what would the liberation? And maybe it's, well, let's see. We're all going to work on this together in some way. What would the liberation of Israel be? And Uranus in Taurus says, I don't care about nation states. What's the liberation of the earth in that place? What does that look like? And I'm like, oh, okay, right. And the ancient forms of practice, you know, would be whoever honors this earth most, you know. It's related to, you know, that the Celts and satyr. The Celts thought that only satyr could bring down the unruly king. They would present their critique, and the unruly, power abusing, corrupt oligarch would have to respond in artful kind. And whoever's declaration was less true, the ground would open up and eat them. So, right. I have no control over how my ancestors protect me, so mind your manners. So I go, Earth eating tyrants. It's the end of fairy tales very often. People stamp themselves into the underworld. I don't think we, ally etiquette, encourages us to indulge in such things, although these are, just, I think if it's a blessing, may the earth feel free to open up and eat those who are harming themselves by harming the earth. That we could wiggle around it. So it's like, but what would it mean? What does the liberation of this mean? And what does it mean for the little baby, Anas? And then just in our all embracing, and then we're going to end with Afghanistan, because why not? Here's Zelensky. So I'm very not wanting to live under Russian occupation. I'm very, I've been, tracking with Zelensky for a while. This is a point of some tripwires, but no, I really want, Putin and Netanyahu and their weird relationship, and Orban and all the dictators to be sentenced to the underworld to learn knitting and weaving. The reason, I've been kind of tracking with Zelensky, watched his TV show that was wonderful, Servant of the People. So he's a Sun Venus exact conjunction at five Aquarius, which is a performer in a ritual mystery play. And part of our unfolding opportunity is that Jupiter in the sky is heading back to its station point. It will station at 5 degrees of Taurus, and go forward. I thought it was New Year's Eve, but it's actually December 30th. But it will be New Year's Eve in the Middle East, when Jupiter from inward to outward. But any planet that stations goes, I'm leaving a big imprint. My degree at my stationing point is a cantilever bridge over a rocky gorge. Finding a way to get over something impossible. I go, yes. But it also says, anybody got anything at 23? Anybody got anything at 5 degrees? We go, well, yeah, Zelensky. And Jupiter also will be trining his one Earth planet, which is his Mercury, which has a little 60-degree angle to Uranus. So people operate on multiple levels. When I hosted Sofia Moskalenko, very fascinating, interesting Russian-Ukrainian writer on the radio, she'd written a book about Russian and Ukrainian fairy tales. I'm like, oh, yeah, we want to go underneath. What is the, what's at work there? Nefariously, but mostly what's the antidote to the thing? And she grew up, Russian and Ukrainian with fairy tales from both. And she said, the Russian fairy tales are very faded. Very faded, and it's usually the undeserving dunderheaded son is saved by somebody and then, rewarded with a kingship and abuses everybody who was mean to him. It's got a kind of tyranny thing. The Ukrainian thing is very against all odds. Trickster who's kind to everybody. Remember in fairy tales, how we tip waitresses, how we treat the least among us has everything to do with outcome. And his one Earth planet, its image is a children's ward in a hospital. And I remember seeing Zelensky going to a children's ward in a hospital. And the young girl in bed was like, oh, you're all the rage on TikTok. And he was like, we've occupied TikTok. What else could anyway, playful, and deep and edged by grief and goodness knows. But the power of story moves through him. Moves through all of us in different ways. And so, as you know, he played a role, and he's also had his same community team since he was a child. I mean, these are tight team, it's like so his show is, about the unlikely election of president of a high school teacher who's just outraged at corruption and against all odds wins the election. And then they go, well, let's do that, right? So they first they tell the story, then it really happens, right? So I just want to extract from our distraction from that, going, just hold that piece. You tell the story, and then you live the story. And he's very good that way. And I just wanted to send him, his Mars is at zero Leo, so again, opposite Mars. We've all got our assignments, again, create theater or live melodrama. Pluto will be there. Soon he's a first responder. You know, how do we all dance with the underworld and the demons? Well, and how can we? I mean, Ukraine's been a conundrum because it's like, you know, we don't want to, I don't want to live under Russian occupation. I root for Ukrainian people. I root, you know, and then the weapons deals and the cruelty and the and then again the liberating of our imagination, because at the same time there's huge green rebuilding going on. Backstage Badger has told me, in the Ukraine, hempcrete and the vision of, you know, coming back in a more clean, cooperate with the earth kind of way. There's many things kind of going on, and I just wanted to wish him not deaf, right? To wish his navigating, to wish his trickster self, to may there be angels, you know, as Jupiter, you know, stations squaring here. And what would I say to him if I were talking to him as a human going, Jupiter says, whatever you want, but it's a wheel and deal with nature. It's a backstage wheel and deal because nature in its trickster coyote form says, you can wheel and deal with me backstage. We can make deals, honest deals, but what are you putting on the table? And trickster coyote negotiating is always like, we go, oh, flora, fauna, fungi, we have really messed up as a species. You know, can we negotiate to make some of what's coming at us metaphoric rather than literal? If we treat water with more respect, can we have fewer floods? If we treat fire with greater respect, can we have fewer? And backstage, in the form of Stella Coyote, goes, what are you putting on the table? You know, if this, then what? Right? And it's like, all right. So the solstice is a time where we go, well, what are we personally and collectively putting on the table? And Jupiter says, I have some Arthurian Knights of the Round Table suggestions. You know, you know, again, the energized vision of a community that takes care of people. And here's, you know, Chiron in Taurus when he's born. Jupiter's been on that too, which is again the Asclepions, the Earth mysteries to wish healing. But what are you putting on the table? You know, a dedication to. To wed the earth, that would be a simple thing. So I just since he's in town in the Washington D.C. part of all of us, or he came here to get vague well wishing from Biden, who's stuck on Ukrainian aid. But we go the money weapons part. Can we not just come up with something even huger and better? You know, again, I go back to these little teeny things, you know, in the Revolutionary War, in the splendid series Turn, right? There is the character Robert Townsend, who's a Quaker who doesn't want to hurt anybody, but he agrees to be a spy. And he runs the bar where Navy Admiralty hang out, right? And beneath that is the printing press. And I'm just reminding us, Mercury retrograde, going remind, remember useful things from our own past or whatever we've heard that is useful to reanimate them. So what he does, not wanting to do harm, his trickster self, he descends into the printing press where they're printing the Navy navigating manuals for battle, and he just changes everything so that none of the manuals agree. You know, when you raise a yellow flag, it means we don't know anymore. And then the British Navy is completely confounded, like, whoa, what? And in disarray, and no one's hurt, but the ships are sunk. Yay. You know, something, I'm thinking of the end of the movie Thunderheart. I don't know how many of you have seen that. It's pretty great. You know, where the spirits and the ancestors arrive to protect the heroes at the last moment. Something, whatever we want to, might want to draw at the back of our cave. And then we wish him a fun, any blessings for Zelensky. I have quite a lot of blessings for Zelensky. And then here we go. All right, we're back here. And Don says it's such a rare thing to sit with others and listen to poems like the ones you shared. Thank you for welcoming us to sit with these together. To be with such these things alone and not in a collective has an entirely different quality. Yeah, anything useful is complex, right? And again, so it's not, yes, we're dissolving the conditioning, you know, of American global consumer mind into reactivity. Do you approve or disapprove of this? Right? It's like there's a big boonswoggle. You know, as an American, I have the right to opinion about everything I hear about within 5 seconds. I like it. I don't like it. It's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you approve or disapprove. You know, it's like finding out more, finding out more. Oh, that's right. Any thoughts on the movie Leave the World Behind, executive producers Barack and Michelle Obama? I haven't seen it. Sure. They're on our team. They're on a team. They're on the team. If Israel took on the safety and security of Palestinians, ask Palestine to take on the reciprocal, that would be their liberation, and so too would it liberate their own safety. Yes, that is the great atonement at one-ment, one-state vision, which many people have been dedicated to, and it made so much sense 10 years ago. Right, because you give up having, you know, as Sim Curtin says, a theocratic ethnostate. Nobody needs a theocratic ethnostate. You give that up and you get safety by shared neighborhoods back to how it was. You know, a memory of Muslims and Christians going, yeah, in the recording that I lost somewhere, but Orthodox Jews saying, my parents remember when, you know, we lived in harmony and at holy days, you know, we would bring our kids over there and they'd bring their kids over here. And that's Jerusalem would be an international capital of peace and a incidental cash cow for the entire Middle East. It was, yeah, that is to return to that dream again, untrammeled by realism, but to go to hold that. To hold that is really a good idea. So I have something quite rousing too. I thought, all right, we want rousing. Oh, it's just, and it's from Afghani friends. I love that you'll see some pretty amazing stringed instrument work. And remember in Chiron's school for future cultural heroes, the first thing he teaches them is to take bows and arrows and turn them into lutes. You know, and Afghanistan, home of Rumi, the astrologer, right, and the poet, of course. They've also done some amazing things with two stringed instruments, which are called a rubab, which means soul's gate. So stringed instruments, and always, and I remember with the many Afghani musicians who would gather at a place near here, and I would say, oh, we should have, you know, music made by every country that America has invaded. And they were like, oh, there is no auditorium large enough. There's no auditorium large enough. We like earned ironic humor. But this is pretty great. This is Josh is the name of it, and we can send you the thing, and it's and I know almost can remember the name, right? But the main thing of the musicians, it'll show. But again, remember the rubab is the soul's gate. Strings open the portal again. Open the portal to call in and back forth. So here we go to pluck ourselves up. I like the starting with the dark Austrian demons dancing thing. Important. And here we go with this. Thank you, team. That's gates are open. Rhubarb has opened the gates. We remember to invite in what we need. Whew, thank you, team. As Wendell Berry says, be jaunty, even though fully informed. Right. Music opens the gates. Thank you, team.